What's happening, everyone? Welcome to the Celtics Talk Podcast. I'm Kyle Draper, joined by the insider himself, A'Sherrod Blakely, fresh off of a plane from Toronto. You land to hear the news about Kyrie Irving. A'Sherrod, we're going to dive all into that. But first, I got to let the people know that we're coming to you from the Cumberland Farms Lounge at our NBC Sports Boston studios. Cumberland Farms coffee, just 99 cents. Any size, that's 99 good reasons to switch. All right, we're going to talk about Kyrie, and then later we're going to hear from Brad Stevens, who sits down with Scal for their weekly segment, Scal and Stevens, Stevens and Scal. But first, Sherrod, Kyrie Irving will have surgery again. Some bacteria in there, an infection in that knee. The Celtics say he will be out 4 to 5 months. This is a death blow to this season, my friend.
If you were talking about getting to the NBA Finals, absolutely. I mean, and you know, a reinvigorated Kyrie Irving come playoff time, that would have certainly given the Celtics a shot. But listen, they're going to have their hands full in the first round from the jump. This group has done a really good job of just being all about that next man up. That's been their mantra all season long. And it's going to be put to the ultimate test, the playoffs. It's one thing to be able to put together a game plan that can work against a specific opponent on a particular night. But when you've got the same steady diet of a team from a talent standpoint, from a competitive standpoint, it's a lot harder for guys who have not, frankly, aren't built for that moment to step their game up. And the Celtics, we're going to find out a lot about this team. We're going to find out whether what we've seen from Terry Rozier in the regular season, how he's elevated his play most nights, can he carry that through a 4, 5, 6, 7-game series?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, they still can win the first round, I think. You know, we've seen them play well even without,
Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie, yeah. Dude.
The guy is gone for the season, and you already forgot about him.
Hey, I'm all about next man up, fella. I'm about next man up. Kyrie, we'll see you in September and October.
Wow.
For now, it's all about Terry Rozier.
Yes, and this is a great opportunity for Terry Rozier because, you know, this is what young guys like him have always wanted, a chance to be that guy in that moment, and he is going to get plenty of opportunities to do that. Did not play particularly well in Toronto, the other night. But, hey, you know what? T. Rose was due for a game like that. And considering he was coming off that ankle injury, you know, he said it wasn't a factor, but I just, you know, just looking at the way he was moving, he didn't seem to have that same burst that he normally has. And even when he shot, it just didn't feel natural. It didn't feel like he was in a good rhythm, and he never could find that. And so I think he'll be better in the playoffs. I think that Danny and Brad, they've got to figure out exactly what are they going to do between now and the playoffs, the remaining games. How are you going to space it out so that you get a guy like Terry Rozier and Marcus Morris into a nice little rhythm,
right,
but make sure that they are rested and ready to roll for what is going to be probably a longer-than-expected first-round series.
Yeah, exactly. You're talking, you know, 6, maybe 7 games. Now, back to Kyrie because, you know, he had the procedure, minimally invasive, they said, a couple of weeks ago. Are you surprised that we're, you know, because Danny has said in the past, they feel like eventually there was going to be another procedure for him. Are you surprised that it's like this quickly? Well, I mean, 2 weeks later, here we go. Now the guy's out 4 to 5 months.
Well, my understanding is that, you know, when they went in and they removed the tension wire, everything looked great. But when they went in, they also took to make a long story short, the pathology report that they started building when they went in the first time, they didn't get those results until after the fact. And once they got the results, then they had to decide what's the best course of action. And so the initial time frame, 3 to 6 weeks, that's exactly where they were at the time that they went in and removed that tension wire. But days later, it became apparent to them that there was actually some type of bacteria infection type in there. And so they had to look at what were their options. And this was the option that, when everyone came together, made the most sense for both the player and the team.
Well, when you got an infection and you got bacteria, there's no waiting on that.
Yeah, once you find that out, you got to deal.
You got to go in there and deal with it. You know, some will say, and I think this is a valid concern when you talk about Kyrie and long term. You go back to college. You go back to 2015. Mm-hmm. You go back this season. You know, with the knee, is this something that, you know, he's just going to, you know, have to deal with going forward in terms of just that reputation? Maybe is he starting to get a reputation as a guy, you know, that's, you know, has injury issues?
Well, the reputation is cemented. I mean, I don't think it's just a reputation. It is who he is. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, on a good season, you might get 70 games out of him. And really, you can't be greedy beyond that. But the one thing the Celtics have been able to do is they have been able to get the best Kyrie, the best version of Kyrie when he's been healthy. And that guy is very efficient. He impacts winning in a high way. And that, if you're the Boston Celtics, you have to build your team with that in mind, that we're going to go 10, 15, 20 games as long as he's here, that he's not going to be able to play. My concern going forward is that we're talking about a bacteria infection. And you may go in and clean it up, but I just feel if it were something structural, then you know that this is something you got to maintain. But you can't really control the whole bacteria thing. I mean, you can to some degree, but to me, I'm more concerned about that becoming an issue going forward, that if they go in there, they clean it up, they do what they need to do, and he's good to go. But let's say when he has to have his maintenance, you know, a year from now or 2 years from now, and they go in and they fix that, and then – few days later, we might be in the same boat. So that, to me, if you're the Boston Celtics, you understand that your window of opportunity to win at the highest level is next season. It's not going to get bigger than that, because Gordon is going to be as healthy as he's going to be. Kyrie is going to be coming off this, so he's going to be as motivated as we've ever seen Kyrie Irving motivated. You're going to have Al. You're going to have your young boys who are playing now, who are going to be a year older, year wiser, and hopefully a year more ready for the moment. That's going to be the best opportunity they're going to have to win a title. And when you look around the NBA landscape, it's not crazy to think that they could be one of the top 2-3 teams when all said and done.
I was very respectful over the last 2 minutes as you spouted what you had to
which
say.
Which is amazing.
But I know. Trust me. I was ready to jump in, but I'm like, nah, let me let you
Mr.
ride.
Double Dunch.
Make his point. So are you telling me the Celtics window is a one-year window? Come on, Sherrod, that's crazy. Kyrie's only 26. Gordon, what, 27 or whatever he is. I mean, they got young guys coming up. So you're telling me this 4 to 5 year window that they had to start the season is now down to one?
I was very respectful.
Yeah, you were. Very
Even though you said some foolishness about halfway through that. What I said was their best chance, and I gave you the reasons why those were their best chance. They're not – listen, they're built to compete for years to come. There's no getting around that. But, again, Kyrie, from a health standpoint, is probably going to be as good as he's going to be next year, and he's going to have the motivation of missing the playoffs this year. Gordon is going to be at the top of his game physically, and when you talk to guys who've sat out a year or several months who've been hurt, the one thing they always say is that I see the game in slower motion because I've watched it for an entire year. So I know if my body and mind are on the same page, I can get pretty much what I want in a much better, more efficient rate than previously. That is going to be a huge plus for Gordon Hayward as he reintegrates himself. And as we've pointed out many times, these young guys are getting an opportunity to play major minutes, and we're getting a chance to see them make some mistakes and then learn from them. I mean, Terry Rozier is a much better player in clutch moments now than he was 2, 3, 4 months
ago. That's true. But let me ask you this, because when you talk about Kyrie, Danny next year is going to have a decision to make contractually.
Mm-hmm.
Is he still getting that $40 million a year or whatever?
Look,
Kyrie, he still that dude?
Kyrie's still that dude. Because, again, Kyrie for 60, 65, 70 games is better than damn near every guard in the league for 82. And that is not going to change. Even if Kyrie loses like half a step, he's still better than more than half of the so-called elite guards in the NBA. So money ain't going to be a problem. Kyrie's going to get paid. If anybody can talk about the Brinks truck pulling up, so Kyrie Irving can be that guy. He can be that guy. Sorry, IT, had to do that.
You know, it's crazy now. The two guys traded for each other, Kyrie and IT, neither one finished the season. Neither one playing in the playoffs. Isaiah, obviously, the Lakers are trash. But
Wow. Did you just say the Lakers are
trash? Wow. They're out of the playoffs.
Wow. But, you know, Mr. Laker hating on his crew.
You know what's so funny as you bring that up? I get people calling me a Lakers lover. I get people calling me a green teamer. I get people calling me a Sixers lover.
I never call you a green teamer.
No, because that's the thing, though. That's when you know you're doing it right, Sherrod.
Well, I just know right now, in this moment, what color is the shirt that you're wearing? It's purple. for the folks at home, it's purple. I've stayed true to the Laker lover logo for you.
Hey.
And today, once again, Sherrod
is right.
I can't
help that purple brings out the color in my eyes, bro.
Man.
You know, I can't help that they coordinate with my eyes.
Yeah, and you and Barney, y'all like that.
Hey, all right, so there's no Kyrie.
Right.
But there's still games to be played.
Yes. And you know, and I'm looking, Ashley, I normally dread the last few games of the season, but I'm looking forward to it now because you've got guys who know that they're going to need somebody. Yeah. They're going to need somebody to step up.
But and who? Like who?
Well, you know Terry Rozier is going to be. But I'm looking at guys like Semi Ojeleye. I'm looking at guys like Abdul Nader. I'm looking at guys like Shane Larkin. I'm looking at guys who are on the fringe, who are trying to do what they need to do to solidify themselves in that top 8-9 rotation. Those are the guys I'm looking
well,
at.
Well, those are the guys that are going to get minutes probably, you know, that they weren't expecting.
Right.
You know, especially getting in the playoffs. Maybe we see Shemmy a little more, you know, Shane Larkin a little more as well. Hopefully Shane comes back and he's A-OK.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you look at who's going to step up, to me, Marcus Morris is the guy. He's going to be the all him and Jason Tatum and
Jaylen Brown.
I think they're going to be the guys offensively that's going to get you buckets.
Well, I can tell you right now, Jaylen Brown is ready. Him and I had a long, in-depth conversation at the end of the game where kind of everyone had kind of cleared out, and we talked about a lot of things, but we talked about playing with a chip. And he says that has been like the best thing for him this entire season because from day one. You don't got this. You don't got that. You should be fourth or fifth in the East.
Right.
And he has.
He got booed at the draft party.
He remembers that?
Yeah.
He has internalized all that hate, all that haterade, and he's just ready to just gulp it all down and blast people.
Listen, I don't understand how people can hate on this guy.
I do.
Right now.
I don't.
Look at the work he's put in, Sherrod.
But Drake,
he's improved his game.
But, Drake, what you're talking about is stuff that if you're paying attention to that, You'll recognize that. People don't see how much he's improved as a ball handler. They don't see him, you know, that corner three that he is, I mean, it's like money now. That's a shot that he wasn't really taking. They're so used to seeing him going to the rim and attacking. Jaylen has diversified his game because he knew as an NBA player, that's what you have to do if you want to be a star. I remember early on where he talked about how, you know, he doesn't want to just be one of the best rookies. He want to be one of the best ever, period.
Right.
And for a guy who doesn't have a clear, undeniable, can-do-everything type skill set, to say that, people looking at him sideways like what
crazy.
The
yeah, yeah.
But you look at the work, as you pointed out, the work he's put in. I remember all the videos that he shot during the summer showing the stuff that he was working on, and then you start seeing him play, and you're like, oh, wow, he's doing that. He had a move at Toronto, and I've seen Jaylen do he does some stealth exceptional stuff. He just had the ball at the top of the wing. He realized who was on him. They went flat, and he just blew past. Who was it? I want to say it was Van Fleet. It was a guard. It was either Van Fleet or it was Lowry. But he just blew past him
as if
they were literally nothing but just a blast of wind in the building.
A speed bump out there.
He's figuring out ways to be an impact player, and I think this is an opportunity for him to really – put himself on the NBA map. People look at him as one of the nice up-and-coming players, but he has an opportunity now to be a star because right now they need one. They need one, and you look at the skill set, you look at this roster, you look at the experience, he could be that guy.
Jason Tatum, too, I think, can be that guy.
Tatum, how can I
Why you hesitate on Tatum?
Because here's I'll tell you why. Because Tatum is a rookie, and he has done exceptional things all season long. I get that, but the playoffs is a different kind of beast. And I want guys that I can trust who've been in the fire, come out not so crispy. They come out a little scorched, but not so crispy. He's never been through the fire. He's never been in this type of situation. And that's not to say he's going to be bad. I just think that Marcus Morris, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, they're more built for this than he is. And again,
they've gone through it.
Yeah, they've been there, done that.
Well, with Tatum, though, skill-wise, he has.
Oh, he's there.
And I don't think he's going to be scared either, Sherrod.
Well,
I think, you know, when he's on the basketball floor, he's comfortable out there. So I don't think he's going to be scared of the playoffs at the moment.
The first-round matchup is going to be key. They need to get the right team at the right time. Like Washington, I think that would be a dogfight.
Yeah.
But if they got, let's say, Miami, the way Miami plays is going to keep them in a lot of games.
Yeah.
But I look at that Miami perimeter, and I like his chances against most of those guys in a best of seven.
Against James Johnson?
I like his chance. Because here's the thing. James Johnson is a great facilitator. He's like poor man's Boris Diaw, really. But Tatum, that length. Tatum, that off the dribble. Tatum with that stealth defense. He's a better defender than I thought he was. I'm not as worried about that matchup as you might be.
My boy Kelly Playoff Olynyk?
Game 7 Wizards.
Game 7
Take Kool-Aid. That off the resume. What you got?
Hey, you got a guy that busted the Celtics earlier this season.
Regular season. Yep, you're right.
I'm worried about Miami, man.
I'm not as worried about them as you might be.
They may not be the most talented, but they're collective. Right. They play hard.
Yeah.
Milwaukee, maybe the most talented.
Bring
but em. I don't think they have that dog in them.
Two things they lack. They lack dog on the floor, dog on the sidelines.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, that position will be filled by someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
There's absolutely no doubt about that.
He's not coming back.
And Giannis, as great a player as Giannis is, I mean, the Celtics, when they played them the other day, the Celtics could have had that game. They needed one of their top three or four players on the floor to have a normal
night.
Just
to make some shots, make a couple extra shots.
Yeah.
We talked about Jason Tatum, and our guy Tommy Heinsohn the other night on the pregame show really made some interesting comments. You know, there's been a lot of talk about Kawhi Leonard and can the Celtics make a trade. And Tommy said, if the Celtics trade Jason Tatum to San Antonio for Kawhi Leonard, Tommy said this, he's leaving town. No way would he want the Celtics to trade Jason Tatum. Now, I don't know if that's Tommy saying that because he's a fan of, you know, all the current Celtics and don't want to see anybody to go, but you got to give up something to get something. And if I'm San Antonio, I'm demanding Tatum's part of that deal.
If I'm Boston and I got to give up Tatum or Brown, but I don't have to give up both.
Take one.
If you're going to tell me I get to keep one of those two, hell yeah. Kawhi is that type of player. I mean, think about this. You add him to the mix, you become a team that is absolutely locked down defense in every way, shape, and form, and a guy who can get you 15, 20 points without really having a lot of plays called for him.
But are you worried about where his head is? Where's physically too? Like, I mean, for him to sit out an entire season, basically, Sherrod, the Spurs are saying he's good to go. Their medical staff, he's cleared. Kawhi's people saying, no, not yet. To me, and we're talking about the Spurs, one of the classiest organizations over the last two decades. To me, that raises a red flag.
Well, the thing that really jumps out is that there is no team that makes better use of strategic rest than the San Antonio Spurs. They have no problem sitting their best players for marquee matchups.
Right, right.
So the fact you can't even contemplate that they would be trying to rush him back soon because they just don't do that.
They don't do
that. In fact, they're really literally at the opposite end of the spectrum on that. Sometimes they rest guys that frankly they probably should be out there playing. And so that makes Kawhi very it makes you nervous to get in bed with that dude.
Yeah.
Because he's in a situation that for a player to have longevity and not have to worry about the pressure being coming back too soon, there's no better organization in the NBA than the San Antonio Spurs. Having said that, watching him play,
right,
seeing what he can do, when he is locked in, there is no better wing in the game. Ask LeBron.
LeBron's a wing too.
Ask LeBron.
Come on, man.
Let me put it this way. There is only one wing player in the NBA that gives LeBron's fits relatively consistently.
And that's Kawhi.
And if you are the Boston Celtics,
that's who you want.
And you get a chance to get the one guy who gives LeBron James fits consistently, and you don't have to give up one of your two promising wings in a deal to get him, you do it, Drapes. You do it. You say, Jason.
So you would trade Jason Tatum.
And I love Jason Tatum. If I had to put together a package and I would lose Jason or Jalen,
just one of them,
I would do that. Because what you have done in effect is you've added a guy in Kawhi who can help you now and in the short-term future, and you keep a key component of your future.
But listen to this, Sherrod. So you got to give up Al Horford in the deal. So now you got some depth issues in the front court.
Yep.
Who are you going to get? Who's going to rebound for you? Who's going to defend?
Rebounding. I mean, Al. I love Al, but rebounding.
That's not what he does.
He's more. I think you're going to miss his defense. You will definitely miss his defense. That's huge. That's a tough blow. But look, in this positionless game that we call the NBA now, you need guys with the ability to just do a lot of different things. It'll be tough to fill his shoes. There's no doubt about it. But if you get a chance to get Kawhi.
Do you think Kawhi gets dealt, though?
No.
If you're San Antonio, do you have to deal him at this point?
I think what will happen, it was the same thing that happened with LaMarcus Aldridge. I mean, LaMarcus seemed like he was ready
to go.
But what they did was they said, well, you know what? you and Pops need to have a little talk. Yeah, and they had their talk. They had their sit down, you know, and everything's been hunky-dory since. He's going to need to have that with Kawhi.
All right, so much to talk about. Man, so much going on in the NBA. The playoffs are next week right around the corner. Before we wrap this thing up, let's check in with Stevens and Scal. This week, they talk about Brad's reactions on the sideline. You know, on one play, Jaylen Brown knocks down a three, wins the game. Brad is stoic. Marcus Morris hits one a few games earlier. Brad's going nuts. Let's hear what Scal and Stevens have to say about that.
All right, Coach, you're not new to, you know, tough shots in the last 5 seconds. But for whatever reason, we want to know, why were you so excited with that Marcus Morris three in Portland?
Oh, the one that he hit in front of our bench and with about a minute left in the game. Just, I think, you know, he hit one against Oklahoma City to win the game before. And then that Portland game was a really hard game to win. We were playing without Jaylen against a team that has great guards. And we had gotten a lot of really good performances from a lot of people. I think I knew the significance of going in there and winning that game with our group being hurt, obviously. And so probably all that stuff added up. And then, you know, I've really enjoyed Morris because Morris is a competitive guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know how much it means to him to step up and knock that shot in, and that probably adds to it as well.
And, but, like, with the Jaylen Brown shot, no reaction whatsoever.
You know, it's a little bit different from the standpoint of that you get a five-point lead with 53 seconds left. You don't know what they're going to do, but Morris is already going up, running back on defense. I see that they're not flying up the court. With Jaylen's shot, I'm just thinking, okay, where's the ball? How much time?
Yeah,
you know, are they going to call a timeout? You know, all those types of things. And you know, it's just a little bit different.
How has your demeanor changed from the first time you took your head coaching job at Butler to the Celtics to now? Like, have you learned stuff? Do you chirp with the refs more? Is like, was that a learning process as you went along?
None. I hope that I haven't changed at all. No, I mean, I've argued calls since I became an assistant coach, and I try not to do it much, but, you know, it's just part of it. When your competitive juices get flowing, sometimes you get a little heated. But, you know, obviously we've talked about how important it is for me. If I do that too much, I'm not good at coaching the next play. And so just focusing on trying to maintain your composure, move on to what's next and coach the next play. I think that's something you learn over time. So maybe even a little bit less now than even 8, 9, 10 years ago.
All right, so there's a kind of a Twitter universe going around thinking that you actually somewhat enjoy when a lot of your guys are out and you get to manipulate different things and different offenses. Can we put that to bed for all the people that watch to say, like, no, it's pretty stressful when you have guys out? Or do you look at it like a challenge and like, hey, this is going to be interesting today?
Well, I think number one is you never don't want all you want all your guys.
Sure.
Every time. I mean, that's an easy thing, no brainer. And it gives you so many more options. Like for us, we could, you know, at the start of the year, we could play small, we could play big, we could play all 6-8 guys across the board. Now it's a little bit different, right? So you have a little bit less flexibility in how you can play. So that takes away a lot of what you can do. But then you know, when you don't have people available, you certainly look at it as a challenge. And I do think, like, you know, I get excited for guys like Gershon,
yeah,
who get a start that haven't gotten the start, or Kadeem Allen, and, you know, seeing how those guys react and trying to make sure that they know we believe in them, and that if they do everything that they set out to do, they'll have success.
Is that because the fine line of opportunity between making it and not making it is delivering when you get your chance?
Yeah, I think that's the cool part. And you know this. I mean, you know, you play it in situations where you didn't play as much and somebody's out, and those are great nights, right?
Oh, you're best.
You're jacked. You're ready. You know you're not going to get pulled after a few minutes. And I think that, you know, when those guys get that opportunity, we kind of see it with Terry, who's taking advantage of it in a big way. You know, it's a fun way to play.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, good stuff from the coach and Scal. You can always check them out, of course, on Celtics Post up each week throughout the season and the postseason. Sherrod, we came in today thinking we'd, you know, talk about the team, getting ready for the playoffs. Instead, the Kyrie Irving bombshell. Man, so much to talk about with this team. Where do they go from here as we wrap this up?
Listen, compete. That has to be the mantra, just compete. You're right now, talent-wise, you're probably going to be at a disadvantage in almost every series you match up with. That hasn't stopped you in the past. It can't stop you in the present. You have to find ways to compete, give yourself a chance to win, and hope that Brad can come up with some great ATOs down the stretch and get you over the hump and onto the next round.
Yeah, time for guys to step up, and I'm talking about in clutch situations, too, when the stakes are the highest. All right, that'll do it for this week's edition of the Celtics Talk Podcast. We'll see you next week as the Celtics get ready for the playoffs. Ray Sherrod Blakely, I'm Kyle Draper. We'll see you next time.
We out!